Good afternoon and welcome into Hate the Player, Not the Game. I am, as always, Lucas Owens. Got a lot to talk about today. We got the Super Bowl happening. Everybody always excited about the Super Bowl. Got some interesting takeaways from that. One of the few NFL games I actually watch all year that don't include my sorry Falcons. Then, looking at stealing signs, MLB talk, got some off-season news, have a particular development with the baseball, actually. Then, you know, some stuff happened in free agency. And lastly, we got looking in the general direction of the NBA. But first of all, let's talk about that Super Bowl. And no, I don't mean the parade, because the parade was... The parade was pretty fun, though, watching that, on a boat, not following COVID precautions, though, kind of interesting to see, but, it was a pretty good game, though, the Super Bowl, obviously. Really, that was just a domination by Tampa Bay. In Tampa Bay, if you looked at it coming into this year, they obviously had some things to work out. Really, I mean, even for Tom Brady, it's a new quarterback and a system. You ought to kind of get used to each other like that, kind of meet in the middle somewhere. But this playoffs, they were just dominating. The team that they didn't beat, well, they barely beat the Packers. I mean, not barely, but it was a competitive game against the Packers. This wasn't competitive. They had a competitive game against the Washington football team, which is pretty funny, but nothing quite like this. I mean, looking at this, halfway through the third quarter, they had, according to ESPN, a 98% chance to win, which is insane. That's, it's crazy. There's a lot of factors that come out of this. I mean, obviously, turnovers were an issue for Kansas City. Mahomes threw a few interceptions. Tampa Bay kept the ball to themselves. Of course, that helps. Tampa Bay's defense definitely came up big. I mean, you look at it. This wasn't really that much of an offensive game, despite the score. Brady only had 201 yards and 3 touchdowns, which is fine. Mahomes had 270 yards, no touchdowns. But so you look at this, and it's like there really wasn't much going on there. But so it was really a defensive game. And when you factor in that the Buccaneers have a far better defense than the Chiefs, it's no wonder they won this game. The Chiefs aren't going to win games with Mahomes only having 270 yards. And, you know, your leading rusher being Clyde Edwards-Helaire with 64 yards. So the Chiefs' offensive line was horrendous. I'm sure they'll be looking into that this year. But really, when you're the Chiefs, you focus so much on that offensive firepower. Kind of no wonder that the offensive line got overlooked a little. Which is never what you want. But Tampa Bay... this is exactly what I think Tom Brady was looking for when he signed there as a free agent. Tampa Bay really has had it there. Like, they've been building up to have it there for a run for a few years, but they were kind of always constrained by Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, of course, throwing a lot of touchdowns, throwing as many interceptions. I believe the first 30 year of all time, 30 touchdowns. Through the air and 30 interceptions. Never what you want to see, but they just had it there. They had a really good defense. I think the defense should have won MVP, to be honest. You have Todd Bowles in there. Todd Bowles wasn't necessarily the best head coach, but he was a fantastic coordinator before becoming a head coach. And now that he's back as a coordinator, no wonder he's so good. Bruce Arians just coached a really good squad. Again, this is just a really good Tampa Bay team. Just kind of funny that the team with the worst winning percentage in all four major sports now has 2 Super Bowls in the last 20 years. But that is all I have for Super Bowl talk. We got the offseason coming up, which offseason combined with college football recruiting should get us through the rest of this calendar year, or sorry, school year. And then, you know, look after that. Aside from the Super Bowl, obviously, there's the stuff going on with the Combine where, you know, they're not having a Combine, but they're going to, they're kind of just having that stuff with players outside of the Combine, you know, a little more distant, a little more like a pro day almost, but with players alone instead of the Combine. Outside of that, we still got the trades coming up. Watson rumored to be traded, Wentz rumored to be traded to everybody's favorite Chicago Bears. But yeah, that is all I have in terms of actual NFL trade action and stuff related to that. Just came out today, the Washington football team and their cheerleaders who filed a lawsuit against them have settled. Not public yet that they settled, but it's good to see this saga be brought to a close. Hopefully they got what they deserve, because what happened was pretty horrific with them. But that's all I have. Make sure to stay tuned for some Stealing Signs MLB talk. Adios. Missouri Tigers. All right, welcome back. Let's get into some Stealing Signs. So this week, you know, pretty down week for baseball, pretty down week for all sports, to be honest. Just not a lot happening. But we did get one big thing. Trevor Bauer signed with the Dodgers. That happened a while ago. It's like right after my show. That always happens. But I haven't given my thoughts on it yet. So, you know, Trevor Bauer, I don't know if I've shared my opinion on him too much. You know, I'm not that big of a fan of Trevor Bauer necessarily. Just because he had one good year, and there's been some accusations and stuff thrown around about what happened in that one good year. That really, I don't know, just makes me question everything going on. I mean, look at this guy. He's approaching his 30s. I mean, he's only on contract for 2 years, but you look at this, you got a lot of over 4 ERA seasons. In 2019, when he was on Cleveland, he had a 3.8 ERA. When he was on Cincinnati, he had a 6.4 ERA and went had a 2 for 5 win-loss record. Of course, that's not very much of a pitcher set. But, I mean, you look at this guy, he's got some problematic stuff going on, some misogyny, just some other stuff that make you worry about how he's going to be in your clubhouse. But, I mean, I'm just not sure about him. And the Dodgers are paying him $40 this year and $45 next year, and then nothing. Probably nothing, because he'll probably opt out of that, like, $15 million year. It just seems like a big risk for a team that doesn't really need to take that risk. I mean, the Dodgers won the World Series last year, and I just don't get it. I mean, you got a good whip, but 3.9 ERA, 17.5 overall WAR player, and you look at last year too. Last year, he was pitching in the NL Central, and if the playoffs proved anything, it was that the NL Central wasn't very good. I mean, he had one good game against the Braves, but that's pretty much it. So, I'm just not really sure about where he fits for the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers already have a great rotation. I'm just not sure why they needed to do this, but an interesting call nonetheless for the Dodgers to sign Trevor Bauer to such a expensive contract. And hey, I'm never going to fault an owner, our ownership group, our front office, whatever, for spending money when they have the money to spend. I think it's good for MLB teams to compete, unlike a lot of what we're seeing right now in the MLB. But some other news, it's come out that the MLB's kind of deadening their baseball a bit. So that's a very interesting thing to talk about. Really, it's just because of how much of an advantage the batters have gotten over the pitchers. Whether they juice their balls or not, nobody really knows. I think there's a few different things that could have caused that. But, I mean, this isn't really that huge of a deal. I mean, it depends on what happens. Problem is they're kind of reaching the upper limits of where how much homers should be hit, and kind of got even the playing field a little bit. But yeah. Outside of that, feels like it should be talked about in baseball because he was primarily a baseball reporter. Pedro Gomez sadly passed away at 58. Some pretty shocking news. I mean, if you're in baseball and you don't know who Pedro Gomez is, you've had your head under a rock. He's a fantastic reporter for ESPN. You know, you're looking at a guy who followed a lot of great things that happened. He reported constantly for ESPN, but he also was on the Bonds home run race, got a lot of that stuff. So pretty sad to see that he tragically passed away a few days ago, and wish all the best to him and his family, obviously. Okay, moving back to baseball. The Boston Red Sox sent Andrew Benintendi to the Kansas City Royals on a three-team trade. That other trade was with the New York Mets. The Royals are kind of coming up out of nowhere. I think they could be somewhat competitive in the AL Central. AL Central, I'm not sure, is going to be the best division next year, though, just based on how those teams are looking. You know, it's good to see a team try to compete. Obviously, the Boston Red Sox are not trying to compete right now. So it's a good trade for the Royals. Good trade for the Mets. Because the Mets offloaded a few prospects, but they got in a Khalil Lee from the Royals, who is a good prospect for them to get. The Mets need to definitely get their farm system up and running again. But Benintendi should be good on the Kansas City Royals. Excited to see what happens there. I'm sure people are very excited about that here. You know, he didn't have the best seasons the last few years, but should be able to return to form in a normal year. So that should work out. All right, the San Francisco Giants are trying to coach all of the Dodgers bullpen because they just signed Jake McGee to a few-year contract. So that's a good pickup for them. I mean, the Giants are stacked with left-handed talent in the bullpen, though, so not necessarily the biggest area of need, but can never have too much bullpen arms, especially after last year. But gotta need some more righties there because the righty side of the bullpen wasn't the best last year. And you know, lefties were fine. It was whenever they had to bring righties in that the problem started creeping up. But look at that Giant bullpen. I think they're going to be turning around from next year. And considering how good their lineup was last year, very excited about what the Giants could do with a better bullpen this year. I mean, I assume they're not going to get close to the top of the NL West just because the other two teams that are good in the NL West are the Padres and the Dodgers, and they, when I say good, they're really good. So that could be interesting. The Dodgers and Walker Buehler have agreed on a deal to avoid salary arbitration. Always like that. $8 million 2-year contract. Not the biggest amount of money, but that's how baseball works. Wonder why we might be going towards a player strike. But that is all I'm going to drone on about baseball today. So after the break, let's look in the general direction of the NBA. Thank you for listening to Hate the Player, Not the Game on KCLU 88.1 FM. All right, welcome back to Hate the Player, Not the Game. Let's look in the general direction of the NBA. Gonna go through a few teams here, but to start off, of course, let's look at the playoff picture in the NBA. So, in the Eastern Conference, we got the first seed, pointing to the Philadelphia 76ers at 18-7, 2 games ahead of the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks 16-9, Brooklyn Nets, 3rd seed, 15-12, 4th seed, Boston Celtics, 5th seed, Toronto Raptors, 6th seed, Indiana Pacers, 7th seed goes to the Charlotte Hornets, who have been pretty surprising this year, 8th seed, Atlanta Hawks, good to see them take some progression, 9th seed, surprise, surprise here, New York Knicks. Still holding on for dear life at 11-15, 10 seed, final seed in that play-in tournament, 10-14, the Chicago Bulls. But they are tied with the Miami Heat, who are winning a few more games recently. So, won't stay too attached to that playoff spot. Eastern Conference isn't very good this year. Eastern Conference is never very good, it feels like. But yeah, got a few good teams at the top, not much else. Eastern Conference needs to get their act together on a regular basis. But moving on to the far superior Western Conference, the number one seed, still the Utah Jazz. Number two seed, Los Angeles Lakers, just a half game back of the Utah Jazz now at 20-6. Utah has one less loss. Number three seed, LA Clippers. 4 seed, Phoenix Suns at 15-9. They've been cranking off a few wins lately, 7-3 in their last 10, and on a 4-game win streak right now. 5 seed goes to the Portland Trail Blazers. 6, San Antonio Spurs having a good, productive year for themselves. 7 seed making a little bit of a resurgence, finally, Denver Nuggets. 8 seed, Golden State Warriors. Then play-in seeds. Sacramento Kings at 9 with a 12-12 record. Memphis Grizzlies at 10 though with the same 500 record but at 10-10 because they had to miss a few games because of coronavirus. So 6-4 in their last 10. Hopefully they'll keep things moving around. Right, that is what our standings looks like now. Usually this is around the time of year I like to get into my crazy predictions about who comes out of East Conference. I'm gonna say, looking at this now, I'm thinking Nets and Lakers. I know, very controversial pick there. It's not like everybody's been picking that this entire time, but of all those teams, that's just who I see. I mean, I could see the Bucks finally doing it this year. The Heat need to start playing better. Yeah, I mean, the playoffs are a playoffs for a reason. You have to decide on the court. I don't get to just decide it. But let's look at the Philadelphia 76ers to start out the segment. So, 76ers are obviously, I think, one of the best teams in the NBA this year so far. Their home record 11-2, that's good. Away record 7-5, that's pretty okay. that's about what you probably should be at, considering the road teams. I think the crowds not being there are a big factor for them. For whatever reason, this team could not play on the road last year. It was crazy to see. I think it was more to do with rest, so hopefully that doesn't get to them. But, yeah, you got Joel Embiid, 30 points a game. I think it's a clear favorite for the MVP right now. He's having a fantastic year. Player efficiency rating of 31.16. That is mind-boggling. That is just crazy numbers. You got him also leading the team in rebounds with 11. Ben Simmons got 8 assists a game, only 13.5 points per game. You know, he's having a good year. He's creating. He's still got a player efficiency rating of 17.97, so not too terrible. But Tobias Harris has been very good this year. Shake Milton, been good off the bench. You always like to see that, 14 points a game off the bench. Love to see it. Seth Curry, been having a good time too. Tyrese Maxey, to the surprise of not a lot of online draft analysts, already producing. Danny Green, you know, he's doing stuff. But, you know, this is a team that, I mean, it's hard to trust just after how they did last year in the playoffs. I think it's going to come down to matchup ultimately. And who knows who they'll get. I mean, when I say matchup, I mean the second round. Because first round, it's very likely they're going to face a team like the Atlanta Hawks or the New York Knicks. Maybe even the Heat if they don't get that far up in the playoffs. Maybe even the Hornets. But I'm just going to need to see them. I'm going to need to see the proof of our 7-game series first. I mean, they've had some really good wins, some really close good wins. But they're going on a road trip now, and it's not an easy road trip. They're going to Portland, Phoenix, and Utah. That is a gauntlet. And it should be rough for them. All right. Let's move on to the Toronto Raptors. 12-13 now. Good for fifth in the Eastern Conference. Says something about that conference. I mean, the big news here, they're going to finish their season in Tampa. At the home of the Lightning. So, yeah, I mean, that's pretty interesting, to be honest. See what they can do in Tampa. See if Tampa can get 4 teams in the finals of their sports without having more than 3 teams as, 3 teams as permanent residents. But, I mean, of course, the Atlantic is stacked this year. Says something that 3 of the teams ahead of them are in their division. But they've been turning it around lately. They got those wins against the Grizzlies and Wizards. And I mean, Pascal Siakam is producing where you want him to be, obviously. I mean, looking ahead, they got Boston, then a home game against Minnesota, then 2 away games against Milwaukee to start the next week. That'll be a road trip, that's for sure. I mean, two of those teams are ahead of them in standings, but pretty close, ultimately. Yeah, Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet are really the only offense. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. They're the best offense for the Toronto Raptors. Outside of that, you have Kyle Lowry and Norman Powell producing pretty well. Just a good, well-rounded team, about what you expect from the Toronto Raptors ever since Kawhi Leonard left them. But, yeah, I'm just not so sure about the Toronto Raptors anymore. Obviously, losing that piece in Kyrie kind of handicapped them. I mean, sorry, Kawhi has handicapped them a bit. But they should still be able to contend in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I don't think they'll necessarily win a round, but I think they'll have a good showing there. Moving on. The Miami Heat. I mentioned them earlier because I still have no... I honestly do not know what's going on with this team anymore. This team is confusing. 10-14, third in the Southeast Division, currently out of the playoffs. They're just not winning. They're starting to do better, I should say. They're definitely starting to do better. They got three straight wins. Washington, New York, New York. And when I say New York, I of course mean the Knicks. But, you know, I think those losing streaks really present a challenge about them in terms of scoring, especially a few of those games against Toronto. They haven't really showed up that well, but they're just a team I would be a little worried about. Not necessarily sounding alarms, but yeah, they need to start turning it around very soon if I'm to believe that they'll have any chance come playoff time. So, I mean, you just look at this. You got Bam Adebayo and Kendrick Nunn doing good. Jimmy Butler, it's kind of regressed a little bit. The bench isn't what it used to be. Duncan Robinson, not shooting guys great as he used to be. Bam Adebayo, like I just said, still a fantastic player. He's making strides. One of the best scoring centers in the game, obviously. But they just need to find something else that will work in order for me to actually think that they are going to make another deep run in the playoffs. Of course, I'm probably going to get proven wrong, and they're probably going to find a way to win, like they always do. But that is all I have for the Eastern Conference. After the short break, let's look at three Western Conference teams and how they slot in to that playoff field. Thank you for listening to Hate the Player, Not the Game.
A delicious power breakfast.
All right, welcome back to Hate the Player, Not the Game. Let's finish looking in the general direction of the NBA real quick before I have to get out of here. So, at number four in the Western Conference, I said before, are the Phoenix Suns. Very impressive, 15-9, one of the best teams in the Western Conference, obviously. Third in the Pacific, of course, because the LA Lakers and LA Clippers are also in the Pacific. But you look at this team, and they're pretty strong. They have some really good wins. They just beat Milwaukee yesterday, 125-124. It was an impressive performance by Devin Booker. Crowder had a lot of rebounds. Kaminsky led in assists with 8, which says something because it's Kaminsky, and Kaminsky isn't exactly, you know, an assist kind of guy. But this team is just really good at moving the ball around. I think Chris Paul was exactly who this team needed to take that step forward. And after how they performed in the bubble, I'm honestly not too surprised. But they got a game Saturday against the Philadelphia 76ers. That one will be a great one to watch. There's not much else to say. They're taking big leaps forward. And I think if they keep playing like this, they could make a run into that second round of the playoffs. I mean, the Western Conference is just so good this year that I'm not sure if they get past that. But I think the Suns are definitely capable of doing that. One team, though, that hasn't quite lived up to expectations, the Denver Nuggets. I mean, they're not the Mavericks, but 13-11, they're starting to turn around a little bit. That three-game skid, Los Angeles, Sacramento, Milwaukee, especially that Sacramento game. If you're a team as good as the Nuggets, you can't lose that Sacramento game. They dominated Cleveland yesterday, but those are games they need to win. That Cleveland game, I should say. Those are games you expect them to win. You just don't really know anymore necessarily with the Denver Nuggets what's going to happen with them. When you have Jokic, though, you can't be too bad. 27 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, 8.6 assists per game. 1.6 steals, 0.6 blocks. I say all those stats because he's leading the Nuggets and everything, which is good because that means Nikola Jokic is really good at basketball, 31.1 player efficiency rating right now, but he's not getting the support he needs. I think Miles Bridges Jr. off the bench is definitely the right idea, but yeah, I just don't know what the Nuggets can really do at this point in the season to turn around and really make a run deep in the playoffs. I mean, nothing's going to matter until the playoffs anyway. That's how the NBA works. But, yep. The Portland Trailblazers are doing better than last year, that's for sure. 13-10. I mean, Damian Lillard's having another good year. They're staying a lot healthier than they were last year, which, if you had your head under a rock, that was the main reason they had to fight so hard to get into the playoffs in the bubble. But, yeah, I mean, they're a good team. And I think they could, again, I think they have potential in the playoffs. But the Western Conference is just so packed this year that I'm not sure necessarily it's going to happen. And talk about teams that have big games coming up against the Philadelphia 76ers. They have one of their own tonight, 9 p.m., that is late. So, I mean, you got that to look forward to. I don't think the Trailblazers necessarily match up against the 76ers well, but it's all decided on the court. We've seen crazier things happen, so let the ball decide what happens with the ball. So, that is all I have for Hate the Player, Not the Game. Thank you for listening. Make sure.